Thank you. You guys can play very, very well, but can you fish?
We're working on it.
Okay. Yeah, good. Good morning, everybody. It's nice to have you here. Happy Mother's Day to you who are mothers or grandmothers or adopted kids off the street like you, Joyce. You've taken in all of these guys, haven't you? Yeah, yeah. Thanks to Valerie for preaching last week. I was up at the Synod gathering. We had a nice time up there. Church at large seems to be in good shape. On your bulletin announcements, you can see that the Memory Garden Committee is taking orders for pavers up until Memorial Week. So if you'd like to participate in that, that's for you. Our friend Joanne Groth passed away. Her service will be Saturday afternoon, 1 o'clock. And thanks to those of you who are making bars for that and helping out that way. Joanne was had a wonderful heart. I remember when I had first moved here, during the first maybe 6 months I was here, first the usher came in and lit the candles, and then the choir came in and sat around, and then I came in, and the prelude, Lee Krieger was playing the prelude. It was a beautiful prelude. I mean, Lee has moved since. I think maybe she'll be back. But anyway, she moved down the cities, but she would complain because everybody would talk during the prelude, and she would, I mean, work hard to do a nice prelude, and no one paid any attention because everyone was talking. And this prelude that day caught my attention, and I leaned over and whispered to Joanne. I says, "What's the name of that song that she's playing?" And it was, she said, "I think it's Send in the Clowns." Yeah, nice prelude. Yeah, we got it, John. Anyway, Joanne's looking down. She's singing in the heavenly choir now. And anytime there's a death in the family, it's always harder for those of us who stay than for those who go, because what's promised to them is a great adventure and a great time. I care for seniors. Seems like everybody's looking at my eye. I stuck a stick in my eye. Felt really good. Anyway, it doesn't hurt. I've gone to the doctor. Everything's okay. But I care for seniors at Glory Church, so put that down on your schedules if that's something you need to look at. I've been asking people, does anyone know what Sut Namai is? Anybody here know? How many know what Sut Namai is? Sut Namai is the 17th of May. That's Norwegians' Freedom Day, 1901, from Sweden. So the Norwegians are celebrating Sut Namai. If you'd like a dinner, go down to Trinity Church in Malacca. How many Norwegians we got here? You guys go, the rest of us will stay home. All right. Yeah. Oh, Swede too, okay. Let's begin with a word of prayer. O Lord, on this Mother's Day, we thank you for your love, and we thank you for your promise that you will protect us and watch over, like a mother chick will watch over her little ones. And so wrap us up and bring us home. Protect us, care for us, love us, and allow our hearts to be open to your Spirit as we say our prayers and sing these hymns and hear your word again. Be with us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Our opening hymn this morning is Gather Us In, 532. We'll rise during the singing of the last verse.
Thank you.
Please turn to the order of confession and forgiveness in your bulletins. We open our worship in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Let us join in confessing our shortcomings. God, today we pause to confess our shortcomings in life and love. We want to live life to the fullest, but we always seem to be disillusioned or disappointed. We want to have deep, meaningful relationships, but we seem to short-circuit those we love with our own selfishness. God, we need the power to change, but we realize now we cannot do it on our own. We are sinful. We fall short of the mark. We ask for your forgiveness. The God of all creation has entered our human existence in the person of Jesus Christ. Through him, our sinful condition has been given new possibilities of faith and life. By his death and resurrection, the price of our sin has been paid in full, and we stand before God as new people. The Holy Spirit is present with us and in us to give us power to live out this new life. By the Spirit, we have life. Praise God.
Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Also with you.
Let us pray. O God, form the minds of your faithful people into your one will. Make us love what you command and desire what you promise, that amid all the changes of this world, our hearts may be fixed where true joy is found, your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated.
Good morning, everyone. Our first anthem, special music this morning, is entitled Come to the Water.
The first reading today is from Acts, starting at chapter 16, verse 16. The owners of a slave girl who used her powers to tell fortunes threw Paul and Silas into jail for healing her and consequently ruining their business. In prison, Paul and Silas bring the good news of the gospel to the jailer and his family. One day, as we were going to the place of prayer, we met a slave girl who had the spirit of divination and brought her owners a great deal of money by fortune telling. While she followed Paul and us, she would cry out, "These men are the slaves of the Most High God who proclaim to you a way of salvation." She kept doing this for many days. But Paul, very much annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, "I order you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And it came out that very hour. But when her owners saw that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the authorities. When they had brought them before the magistrates, they said, "These men are disturbing our city. They are Jews and are advocating customs that are not lawful for us as Romans to adopt or observe." The crowd joined in attacking them, and the magistrates had them stripped of their clothing and ordered them to be beaten with rods.
That happens to the best of us, Smokey. They don't call you Smokey for nothing, huh? We'll continue. The crowd joined in attacking them, and the magistrates had them stripped of their clothing and ordered them to be beaten with rods. After they had given them a severe flogging, they threw them into prison and ordered the jailer to keep them securely. Following these instructions, he put them in the innermost cell and fastened their feet in stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was an earthquake so violent that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's chains were unfastened. When the jailer woke up and saw the prison doors wide open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, since he supposed that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted in a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we're all here." The jailer called for lights, and rushing in, he fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them outside and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They answered, "Believe on the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." They spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. At the same hour of the night, he took them and washed their wounds. Then he and his entire family were baptized without delay. He brought them up into the house and set food before them. And he and his entire household rejoiced that he had become a believer in God. Here ends the first lesson. Our psalm this morning is Psalm 97. Let's read it responsively. At the bold R, please join in the refrain, "Rejoice in the Lord, you righteous." The Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let the multitude of the isles be glad. Fire goes before the Lord, burning up enemies on every side. The mountains melt like wax before the Lord of all the earth. Rejoice in the Lord, you righteous. Confounded be all who worship carved images and delight in false gods. Bow down before the Lord, all you gods. For you are the Lord, most high over all the earth. You are exalted far above all gods. Light dawns for the righteous, and joy for the honest of heart.
Rejoice in the Lord, you righteous, and give thanks to God's holy name.
Rejoice in the Lord, you righteous. Sherry, would you sing for us another anthem, please? Please rise in honor of reading the Holy Gospel. Our Gospel lesson for the seventh Sunday of Easter is found in the 17th chapter of St. John. Jesus prays that the life of his followers will be characterized by an intimate unity of identity with God. To be so identified with God means also to share in God's mission, to proclaim the word that will bring others into this same unity. Jesus prays, I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one. As you, Father, are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may become completely one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I desire that those also whom you have given me may be with me where I am to see my glory, which you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Righteous Father, the world does not know you, but I know you. And these know that you have sent me. I made your name known to them, and I will make it known, so that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. The word of God, the word of life. Please be seated as we sing our sermon hymn 793. Thank you. Thank you.
That's his favorite.
Yeah, well, no, the next one's my favorite. They're all my favorites. Yeah. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Got an older brother, Willie, who anytime you go to his house, he's always got Elvis on. And I thought as we read the first lesson today that the title of this sermon would be Jailhouse Rock. as Paul and Silas are in this jail and the earthquake comes. Thought maybe All Shook Up would be appropriate, or, you know, I don't think Blue Suede Shoes or Hound Dog would do it, but Jailhouse Rock sounds good. We've got Paul and Silas. They're savagely beaten. They're thrown into jail. That's not unusual for Christians in the early church. They had it a lot tougher than you and I have it when you think about it. They faced all kinds of adverse conditions, but they generally handled it magnificently, huh? I think if we look at this lesson, and I think that's what we'll do this morning, we can learn something. It has a little to do with our attitude when tough times come, when we're jailed or in our own jails of our own making. It's to do with attitude. It has to do with our actions. What do we do when the world's dumping on us? And then from our attitude and our actions, what impact do we have on others around us? This passage, really, if we put it to work in our lives, can have a life-changing difference. First of all, let's think about the attitude that Paul and Silas had amongst themselves. You got this scene where this slave girl who divines, who reads palms or reads bones something like that's happening. She starts following Paul and Silas around for days and days until finally Paul says, I've had enough of this. And he casts out the demon in the name of Jesus Christ, be gone. And what happens is this slave girl who's being run by a couple of owners, she can't divine anything. She can't tell the future anymore. And so these guys lose their income. And so, you know, bother. If you want to be a Christian and say that's one thing, but when you lose my income, watch out. Kind of, I mean, that stuff was happening there. Have you guys been reading the story with the IRS chasing the tax people? Same kind of story, I have a feeling. And then it was all the underlings who are doing it. Yeah. Anyway, don't get me going. They take Paul and Silas, bring them to the city center, strip them, and then they beat them with rods. Then they drag them to jail, put them in jail, and they put their feet in stocks. So can you imagine that? The feet are sticking in stocks. They're laying probably on the floor or sitting or whatever they do like that. And how do they respond? That's their situation. Well, they respond quite nicely. We hear from the author that it's midnight and they're praying and singing. They're praying and singing, quite good. And the prisoners, we're told, are listening too. Can you imagine the attitude that they had, the faith that they had in God in spite of these bad situations? Beaten, thrown in prison, feet in stocks, they break out in song, kind of like a Bing Crosby movie. And others are listening. For me, for you, how would you have responded? I probably would have crawled up in a fetal position and be begging, Lord, please release me either from these chains or take me because I don't want to go through this. I wish I could have the faith that Paul and Silas had, huh? I mean, my life is a lot easier than theirs. Your life is a lot easier than theirs. But my faith, I think, is shakier. I get upset when sickness strikes, huh? When someone I love is in distress, someone I care for is hurting, and I look around and deal with people who are hurting all the time. This economy hasn't treated people very well. Sometimes we wonder what's going to lie ahead. We have some fear about that. Some days our fears and our doubts put us in chains. Our friend Dave Groth lost his partner of 60 years come July. You know, what's going to happen? We've got people who focus so much on their partner going through their illness, and all of a sudden, years later, they're either put in a home or they die. And where is your life going then? We put ourselves in prison. We have ourselves in shackles sometimes. And how do we react? And that's what we're seeing here with these two disciples, Paul and Silas. I was going to call him Cyrus. I didn't think that was right. But you know what I'm talking about with these jails we put ourselves in? There's a study that goes that's been going around that deals with something called biofeedback. But experts in the biofeedback field say that when we express a positive attitude, positive emotions will follow. These experts tell us that people don't smile because they feel good. They feel good because they smile. In fact, there was a recent study by Wake Forest University that talked about singing bringing on positive actions because your well-being is good. So if you get in trouble like this, I mean, Paul and Silas, they sang. I mean, Bing Crosby in jail. Maybe we should try that. I just saw someone that I heard singing once. Maybe you shouldn't try that, but I think that it helps our attitude. These songs that they're singing were also a witness to the other prisoners. They lifted them up. The writer of Acts says that they were listening to them. Maybe that's one reason they were singing, to lift up the spirits of the others. And so Paul and Silas are singing these hymns. That's their great attitude. And suddenly we're told that there's an earthquake that comes, a rumbling of the grounds, and it must have been so bad because the doors are open and the shackles on their legs come out. And notice that the Bible doesn't say that God caused the quake. You and I might want to believe that God caused the quake, but the Bible doesn't say that because I don't think it's that important. What is important are Paul and Silas's actions. They didn't try to escape. They decided to live their faith and stay, and God is going to take care of them. That would have been me. I would have been beating it down the road as fast as I can to get out of Dodge. They stayed. And maybe it was because they cared about the jailer. The jailer, he comes in. He probably was sleeping. He wakes up. The doors are opened. He figures the prisoners are gone. And so he knows he's given the responsibility to take care of these prisoners. He probably is going to be treated a lot worse than Paul and Silas and the other prisoners were. So he gets a knife out and ready to turn it on himself. And Paul says, hey, don't do that. We're all here. We haven't left. You know, this isn't typical behavior of prisoners, I don't think. But these are people who have the peace of God inside them, Paul and Silas. They have a deep faith that God is going to be with them no matter where they are. And sometimes when tough times come, we get into such a panic and in such a rush and are so harried and hassled and we don't know what to do and we run around and we scream and we holler or we throw things or I don't know how you handle it, but it goes back to an old statement that I hold dear. It's 10% what happens and 90% how we deal with the things that happen in our lives. These guys stayed and maybe they stayed for the jailer, but there was no anger. There was no running away. There was, let's stay and face this and take care of our business. Reminds me of a fellow in a church that I served down in Anoka years ago. He was taking pilot lessons. He said that they were up, 8,000 feet, and the instructor gave the handle and gave the plane over to this student. But before he did, he put it into a dive. And he says, on the dive down, the engine failed. And the fellow that was telling me this says, he was shaken. He was scared out of his mind. He didn't know. And it seemed like eons went by, but it was probably only seconds. And the instructor wasn't doing anything. Finally, he got his sense about him, did the right things, got the plane taken care of and sailed on. And when they get down, he was so angry with the instructor. The instructor told him, there's no position that you can get this plane in that I couldn't get you out of. He says, if you want to learn how to fly, you've got to go through situations like that. So I want you to go up and do it again. And as we talked, he said, that's the way God is with us. As we serve God, there's no situation that you can get yourself into that God can't get you out of. If you trust God, you're going to be okay. That's the message for us today. Huh? And that was Paul and Silas's faith. They didn't panic. They didn't run. And maybe out of concern for the jailer, they stayed. And so Paul and Silas, to review, they're thrown in jail, they're beaten, they're scourged, they sing, calm people down, earthquake comes, didn't escape. Look what the impact that their actions and words had on the others, huh? The jailer, he says, how can I have what you have? How can I have your peace? Because I couldn't do what you're doing. So his words were, what do I need to do to be saved? You know, what do I need to do to have the same faith that you have? And it wasn't, you know, when you think about it, some of the evangelism we do, it wasn't because someone knocked on the door and handed you a tract. It wasn't because someone asked you, if you were to die tonight, where would you go? It was because they had faith. And they sang songs in the midst of trouble. And they were at peace. When the world around them was going crazy, they stood the test of time. And they called on God. It was because Paul and Silas walked the walk. They walked and lived like they believed. Do you believe God will always love you? Do you believe God will always be with you? Do you believe God will take you care of whatever the world throws your way? That's what they put their words to work. They walked the walk. They talked the talk. It was their attitudes and action that made others want to say, holy smokes, in the midst of all this turmoil, I want what they have. Ready? That's our song. Our next hymn, 613. Say, John and Cherry, do you, since it's Mother's Day, do you have a Mother's Day song you'd like to do?
We do have a Mother's Day song to do a little bit later, if we can do this blessing.
Sure, do the blessing first.
All right. Actually, this is a Mother's Day song as well, because mothers are, in many ways, our greatest blessing. So this is a fairly new Christian song that's talks about life's blessings and about how sometimes our blessings are not quite what we expect, and sometimes our blessings turn out in different ways than we might know. And that kind of, through the kind of faith that Pastor Jim was talking about today, we'll soon see what God has in mind for us and what God intended by the situation that we find ourselves in. This is called Blessings.
Every promise from your word is not enough.
We'll receive the offering, say our prayers of intercession, Lord's Prayer, and then we'll have that Mother's Day song. Okay, John? Mm-hmm. Please rise, turn to the offertory prayer. Let's join together. It's found on the bottom of page 4. Let us pray. All we have, all we are, and all we hope to be belongs to you, God. We offer our gifts for use in your service. Receive these gifts, and may they be used to further the work of your church on earth. Amen. Rejoicing with all the witnesses of the resurrection, let us pray in confidence for the church, the world, and all who are in need. Let's take a moment for silent prayer. Unify your church and heal the divisions that keep us from proclaiming your love with voices joined as one. Help the Church of Christ in every land make your name known. Hear us, O God. Heal the places of the earth that are torn apart by natural disaster, earthquakes, storms, drought, and floods. Strengthen first responders in times of emergency and fortify those who rebuild. Hear us, O God. Make wars to cease and end violence between nations, in our communities, and in our homes. Be present with peacekeepers and those who serve in the military throughout the world. Hear us, O God. Wrap your arms around all who suffer in mind, body, or spirit. Especially remember this morning Dave Groth and his family. Mel Hammond, George Ott, Ron Hess, Keith Mundinger, and others in our lives who need your healing touch. Reveal your love through the care and compassion of those who serve people in need. Hear us, O God. Bless mothers and all who protect the small ones in our midst. Comfort those who long for a mothering presence in their lives. Hear us, O God. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the many blessings you have granted to us. We thank you for your promise that you will always be there and nothing can happen that can separate us from you. And so allow each one of us to walk in faith, trusting that you will bring the best things about that we need. Watch over our loved ones these days. Protect the fishermen. Stir up in us the faith to believe in the promise of everlasting life. Strengthen us with the memory of those who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hear us, O God. In resurrection hope, we commend to you all for whom we pray, trusting in the promise of new life through Jesus Christ, our risen Savior. Let's join in the prayer our Lord has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated. John.
So we have one more dedication here to the mothers, not only the ones that are here with us right now, but I lost my mother in this last year, and she was the lover of lovers, and we're going to do a tune by James Taylor, and it's entitled Shower the People That You Love with Love. This is dedicated to all the mothers that are here today and all those that will always be in our hearts.
You can breathe again and you can act out the heart, though you know it wasn't written for you. But tell me,
Thank you, Sherry. Thank you, John. The Bible talks about moments like that. They call it the warming of the heart. Please rise and receive the benediction. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Go into the world to serve God with gladness. Be of good courage. Hold fast to that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the afflicted. Honor all people. Love and serve God, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. Our closing hymn is 817. Come down to the lake shore, seeking for evil, what's in the wind going? Only you are seen for me to follow. See, Lord, you have looked into my eyes. Call out my name. On the sand line, have a man in my small boat. Now with you, I will seek other seas. You know full well what I have, Lord. Neither treasure nor weapons of conquest, just ease my fishness and will for working. Sweet Lord, you have looked into my eyes. I need you, call up my name on the sand.